Progressive News Network, a new Mercury Media production, where you'll find the voices of activists, the voices of those working to make this a better world. We believe that as we face challenging times, the human spirit can face and surmount the foolish and the short-sighted. Tune in every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, for the live show, or anytime you can. Progressive News Network, found at www.newmercurymedia.com/PNN/. We have a future. Tune in and build it with us. Underwritten by Florida Media Labs, produced by Rick Spizak in cooperation with Canary and a Coal Mine Films. Progressive News Network.
My next guest, who is the co-director of the Florida Earth Festival, and Jan, are you there? I've got another Jan. Oh, my God.
I am.
Hi, Jan. Okay.
Hi.
So now we're going to talk about the Florida Earth Festival. And this is Jan Boer, by the way. Am I pronouncing that right? I know how to spell it, but I'm not sure how to
you
pronounce
sure
it.
You sure are.
Okay, good. So Jan Boer, B-O-O-R. And I went last year to the first one, and I took my brother and his kids, and I don't think I've ever seen anything as well organized and as beautiful as that festival was. I just was like, wow, this was so impressive. It really was. It was beautiful, and it was just very, very nicely done. So I'm looking forward to the second one, certainly, and bigger and better, no doubt. It's I'm looking at your flyer, so I'm going to steal your thunder and say it's April 18th and 19th at the University Woodlands Park in Boca Raton, 2501 South Andrews Boulevard, 33434. And it's Saturday from 10 o'clock to 7 p.m. and Sunday from 12 noon to 7 p.m. And so now that I have gotten rid of the details of the logistics, why don't you tell us what's going to be there and what you want people to know?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, the overall aspect, what we're going for with this festival is that we're building a better tomorrow, but we're having a heck of a lot of fun doing it. You know, so we're
That's
bringing
great.
People who have green businesses, people who are doing wonderful work in nonprofits, and people who are just individuals doing cool and wonderful things that really are supportive of our ecology, supportive of our planet, and are moving us forward towards sustainable lifestyles. So we're going to have a lot of fun stuff. We're going to have an attempt at breaking the Guinness Book of World Records for changing babies out of the disposable diapers that go into our landfills into cloth diapers. And
that's hysterical.
So babies are going to be lining up for that on Saturday morning at 10:30.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
I obviously in the arms of their parents, obviously.
That's
but
funny.
We're going to have
stinking cute.
Well, you know, exactly. I mean, you know, why can't we have fun?
That's
save
funny.
The earth, but have fun doing it, right?
It's good to have a good sense of humor.
We're
going to
have somebody
so many
doing
people
haircuts.
Don't.
I know. We're going to have people doing haircuts outside from the Naked Hair Salon, and they use all eco-friendly products that they're going to be selling at cost. And,
wow.
You know, we're having people who do jazzercise outside. We have, you know, all kinds of things going on outdoors that are just a whole lot of fun. And we have a couple of biodiesel. We have a biodiesel bus. We're going to have alternative fuel vehicles, just showing how, you know, we can lead the way with, you know, all kinds of wonderful hybrid vehicles, biodiesel, all kinds of things that people are already doing. It's not the future. It's already here. The future is here already. You know, we're going to have the people from Green Living Technologies bring their really cool vertical garden that's an edible landscape. They're going to bring that, and you can see they install them on the sides of buildings. But they're bringing a sample that they'll have standing there that you can see how it works. They do a lot of partnerships with schools where they get the kids in order to learn how they can do this edible gardening with kitchen herbs, you know, basil and so forth that they have. that it's in a vertical system that takes up very little floor space, and it's easy to maintain. But we're going to have Girl Scout programming. And some of the Girl Scout, well, it's going to be on energy, air, and water. And the Girl Scout programming is interesting because we can offer in 2 days what often takes weeks for girls to accomplish, because we have the ability for the girls to do the public service component by going out in the festival and getting people to sign on to petitions or to do other things that they've developed the initiative for. They can do the leadership component by mentoring the younger girls who are there. So we have a whole Girl Scout programming strand, and we have a lot of kids stuff that's energy, air, and water education. And we have sustainable building tours that we're going to be doing later on in the week. You know, we've partnered with the U.S. Green Building Council of South Florida, and they mm-hmm. do wonderful LEED-certified buildings. So people can see these things are here today. It's just a matter of knowing that they're there and knowing how to access them and learn about them. But we also have this huge project that's the High Waterline Public Art Project. And this is to engage the community to really think creatively about the challenge of sea level rise. Mm-hmm. We had our first meeting today that's in the High Waterline timeline. And it was in the Nassau, and, well, it took place at the community center at Veterans Park in Delray Beach, and residents from the Nassau district on the Barrier Island and from the Marina district in Delray Beach met and spoke about the issues they're already experiencing with flooding. And John Morgan from the Delray Beach Office of Sustainability was there, and he spoke about the adaptation measures that are already being either planned or executed in the city of Delray Beach. But the festival, the Florida Earth Festival, is shining a light on Delray Beach this year with this project. That's what our objective is to show that Delray Beach is leading in getting the community engaged in conversation about what they're going to do about sea level rise. And they signed already the mayor's pledge from the South Florida Climate Change Compact. So they signed the mayor's pledge saying that they were going to be working for climate resiliency, and they appointed a citizens task force, which I believe they're the first municipality in all of Palm Beach County to do it. They have them in the Miami, county down in Miami-Dade. They have them in Broward County. But we haven't had them here yet, and it's a citizens task force to take a look at sea level rise and to make recommendations to the city about what to do. They're called the Delray Beach Rising Waters Task Force. So at our festival on the 18th and the 19th, we're going to be calling attention to that. So we're going to have workshops from the scientists, FAU Center for Environmental Studies, Karen Bolter. Dr. Karen Bolter is going to come and talk about the science behind sea level rise and what we're experiencing. She developed the maps for the chalk route that we're going to do a little over 7 miles of chalk line in Delray Beach on the 25th at their Earth Day celebration. So our Earth Day celebration has to get everybody ready to do that. So we're going to have a chalk marker
line,
there.
I'm kind of curious, this chalk line, what is it, when you say high water line, what are you talking about exactly?
We are going to be drawing a line at 4 feet of elevation, and that is done by looking at the topographical maps, and this is what Dr. Karen Bolter did for us. The two lines, the one in the Marina District and the one in the Nassau District, are at the 4 feet of elevation. And they have already concerns in those neighborhoods because much of it is below the 4 feet. And at the king tides, they have more water there than they can accommodate at this point because we have sluggish canal drainage. And so the city is installing some special valves in the pipes and doing that sort of a thing to help them out there. But that is at 4 feet. The projected sea level rise by 2030 is 4 to 7 inches, using the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers projections. That's the unified sea level rise projection that the lower four counties in Florida here are using. But by the end of this century, we're expecting it would be around 4 feet. So, you know, 3 to 4 feet. So it's a matter of having people visualize what would that look like? What would that be? Well, you know, if you draw a chalk line in the street, you can see where it would be.
It'd be very wet.
So wet. And you can see where it would be and what we have to think about and what we have to plan about. And our third line that we're drawing is a little bit farther west, because it's not just coastal structures that are threatened by sea level rise. We have seawater that pushes in the limestone that we live on. And as it pushes inward and as it moves underground inland, it pushes the water table up, which causes flooding. So in the area that we are going to have that, which is near Frog Alley, it's in South Delray Beach, we are going to have a line that we draw there to call attention to the fact that it's a low-lying area that as the water table rises with the sea level rising, it's going to be pushing that water up. So we're going to be having those workshops at the Florida Earth Festival, and we're also going to be recording oral histories, video and transcribing those oral histories of people who are experiencing what is really a historic change here, and they're already experiencing it. So we're going to begin documenting it in that way. And that'll be on the 18th. And on the 18th and 19th, in association with the High Water Line Project, we're going to have the first in Florida workshops for artists who want to learn how to engage in activist art related to climate. How can they help to spice up the message, say the message a little bit differently, communicate to a different audience, say it a little louder, say it a little more beautifully, say it in many different ways. And so the people from, it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, it's called Beautiful Trouble, Beautiful Solutions is the organization that's being brought in. It's being sponsored by the Delray Beach Public Art Advisory Board. And it should be phenomenal. It should be phenomenal. They're offering it both days. So, you know, people can get on our website, and we link to a registration module, and it's free to artists, practicing artists in Delray Beach. It's free for them to attend those workshops. So we also have a programming strand that this year, that we didn't have last year so much, which is interesting. The wellness community that really takes a holistic approach to life is beginning to engage. You know, as we start to really look forward and say, you know, what could a new paradigm be? You know, what could it be? What are all the components of it? We have to take a look at, well, how are we maintaining our health in whatever environment in which we live? And what are the most harmonious ways of doing that? So we have chi dancing that's going to be going on, and we have the Boca and Beyond Holistic Chamber of Commerce coming. So, you know, the Red Cross is going to be joining us, because we have to start thinking about storm preparedness as we do face these additional challenges with the elevated sea level that will make the storms more, the water will penetrate farther inland. There will be more storm surge and that sort of thing. And we have the people from the Arthur R. Marshall Foundation coming and speaking about Everglades restoration. You know, our natural systems are so important to our climate resiliency and to our health. And so to leave them out and on an Earth Day would be silly. So, of course, we're focusing on that as well. So I think that, you know, we have so much for so many. I mean, even if you're just a gourmand or somebody who just loves to eat, we're having a food truck rally. We're having the poutine dog truck, the Canadian hot dogs and poutine, and we're having the Cubano beef family run, you know, Cuban food. And let's see what else. Oh, tacos Veracruz, and some barbecue, and you know, so we have
what
even some
for
gourmet organic food.
Vegetarians?
Gourmet Organic Food, the Food Island truck. Yeah, and we're looking. We still may be finding some vegan or vegetarian exclusive, but we're still looking for that. So if somebody's listening to this and they happen to have a wonderful food truck that's vegan or vegetarian, I mean, let us know. We're still looking for people who would like to come join us. And
does it have to be a food
just
truck?
Let us know you're out there. Yeah, for food trucks, you know, sure, for food trucks or anybody
food
who
truck,
wants.
But what if it's somebody that? I mean, at the All People's Day, I don't know that he would go, but I don't remember his name, Baba Gaba or something, I forget. I mean, certainly I could find out from the founder, but that food, wow, it was intense. He isn't going to
really
have a food
wonderful.
Truck.
I don't know. My co-director, Dave, has been handling it, and I believe he's doing the food trucks because of some regulations. It's because of the kind of property we are on, that if we use the food trucks, then the permitting works smoothly.
Too bad. Is this guy, I mean, I had his avocado and tomato pie. Unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's fabulous. He is just fabulous.
It was really
delicious.
You know, I'd never tried his food before. It was incredible.
It's really an incredible thing. Sometimes the mixture of the flavorings that are, you know, different ethnicities have is just incredible, and especially if it's organic, yum.
Yeah, because I mean I don't eat red meat, so it's like if there's meat I can't have it. I won't have it. And I'm also gluten free. It's very boring. Oh, it's really boring. It's hard to do.
Yeah, it is hard.
I'm always
to
looking
do.
For
it
stuff
is hard.
Like that. It is hard to do. So speaking of hard
commitment.
To do, so yeah, well, either that or I walk around looking like I'm pregnant, and I would prefer not to. what I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, you know, what do you do when you have a governor that doesn't even let his staff use the term global warming or climate change? What do
it's
you do?
It's amazing how much is being accomplished without him, and it's amazing what he's doing to try to block what's being accomplished. But you know where the leadership is coming from? The leadership in this state is coming from academia. We have the FAU is engaged on it. FIU is engaged on it. The University of Miami is engaged on it. We have our planning councils that are engaged on it. And the fact of the matter is that at the municipal level, the people have to be engaged on it, and our local municipal governments are having to deal with adaptation already. And so people are unable to, you know, pardon the reference, but, you know, just stick their heads in the sand as it erodes away down the coast.
Well, you know, I don't know what it would be, but I'm sorry, you weren't finished.
Well, yeah, I mean, what I was going to say was the separation of the parsing of the language is such that municipalities are required now to put into their planning what they are going to be doing about the increased challenges due to sea level rise. This is not saying that there is an anthropogenic source of the carbon dioxide emissions causing it. It is not discussing the link. It is discussing the solutions to the problem of higher water. And so it's about parsing the language and saying what people are willing to deal with. But the fact of the matter is, one way or another, people are getting wet. And the fact of the matter is that when there are people who have to take their possessions and move them up to the second floor twice a year because of tidal flooding, and because they're the ones who are dealing with raising their homes and raising their air conditioning units, it's a shame that there are people two blocks away who don't believe it's happening. So that's part of what the high water line is about, is to let people two blocks away know that this is happening in their neighborhood. And it's really not doing anyone a service to say it's not happening. I mean, you can see what's happening at the municipal level. Our county and the three counties to the south of us have signed on to the Southeast Florida Regional Climate Change Action Plan, and it's in the implementation phase now. And the adaptation action areas where these problems are occurring are being identified, and they are defined in state law now. So even though the governor doesn't want people to talk about this, and let's be clear, we're talking about, and I think it's actually one of the greatest moral ills of our time, is that what this means is that the people who are trained in the sciences and in the professions that serve to keep our infrastructure running, and the people who are responsible for letting people know when there are problems with our water supply are being told to sit down and shut up and not be able to speak about the causes of these things when they are trying to speak to issues that are about our cumulative health and welfare. So we are very fortunate that in the departments throughout the state, there are initiatives that are protecting us. The public health community is engaged on this issue. It's extremely important, and we're talking about preparedness for more severe storms. We are talking about understanding that there are health risks associated with standing water when there's increased flooding. And we're talking about beginning to track sea level rise related injury and illness through insurance coding. And we are also at the municipal level having people in the emergency services and in our county government and at the municipal level who are working with the FEMA CRS system. I don't know if you have noticed, my FEMA flood insurance rates increased 50% this year. The reason for this is the sea level rise data is now being incorporated into the insurance. And therefore, this means that if municipalities and counties do actually work to manage their floodplain in accordance with FEMA specifications that are taking the sea level rise into account, that it can result in discounts on our flood insurance at the county level or at the municipal level as they do these things. So I think that's all good news. It's all good news. It's in place and people are doing the right thing. If we have someone in the governor's office, then we simply point to the next election.
I have a suggestion or a request or whatever you want to call it, and it's off the top of my head, so obviously it's not thought through. But I think since you're going to have thousands of people coming by, why not have a petition? Either, you know, citizens of Florida or registered voters of Florida saying, you know, we demand that the governor, you know, pays attention to this and stops being an ostrich, or however you want to word it. But I'm just thinking that, you know, as long as all these people are going to come by, let's see if they want to put their signature where their mouth is and send
what
something.
What a great idea.
Yeah, well, that's what
we'll
that's
figure
what I get
that one out.
For. Yeah, but I would have a petition. I would definitely have something to the governor and have, you know, all those hundreds of thousands, whatever you get, but I know you get at least a couple thousand people, and that's nothing to sneeze at. And they're random, so, I mean, it's not like set up or anything. It's just people who showed up to the Earth Day thing, and have them sign it. I bet you
that's
would
a
have
great idea.
A lot of signatures say, you know, we demand that you stop ignoring the facts and science, because I understand, you know, I read little bits hither and yon that scientists have gone to talk to him, and he still plays stupid. I mean, he is stupid. I understand that. He's also crazy and a whole lot of other negative things. But the reality is it's irresponsible for a governor of a state that is absolutely at risk from climate change, one of the highest at risk, to not even acknowledge that it exists.
Well, I agree, and especially since in so doing, it places this burden on the staff and on local governments. And I don't think that's fair. I don't think it's fair that at the higher levels of government we can turn our heads, but at the lower levels of government we simply must do these things because they are in our backyard. There's definitely a disconnect. But I love the idea of a petition at the festival. You know, we're going to be doing you know, all kinds of other things. But what I found last year with the people who attended the festival, and, you know, and it's part of the nature of the festival, is just to attract people who are into many different things. So, for example, if somebody comes to take the vermicomposting workshop where you learn to compost with worms and they're doing these things, they're usually quite well read in a variety of other subjects. And they're probably concerned about climate. You know, it's this a mosaic of people who
exactly.
are expressing things in different ways, but definitely feel the same way, you know, about something like signing a petition like that. So that's definitely a great idea.
I mean, it's just like these are people, and we're demanding that you stop sticking your head in the sand. This is ridiculous. And we, you know, we're voters. We're responsible citizens, and this is affecting us. Because I can see the little evil wheels in his head turning. And the only thing that I can think of at the moment is that he's thinking if he acknowledges it, then he's going to have to deal with any company that wants to move here will think differently. Oh, no, we can't move there because they're going underwater. And so if he doesn't say anything about it, he could probably, you know, snicker somebody into doing something that they might not do if they knew that this, you know what I mean, if it was more front and center. If somebody's smart, they're going to do their research, they're going to do their homework, and they're going to find out about it anyway. But I am positive that that is part of the reason that he doesn't want to acknowledge it is because it might discourage new businesses from moving to Florida. I'm sure that's part of his rationale. But the reality, the dishonesty of that, it's going to bite him in the butt. And I, frankly speaking, I'm not interested in about his butt at all. What I'm interested in is, you know, the state and the people that live here. I mean, if I had lots of money, I would not be buying real estate in Florida because of how the water is going to rise and everything. I don't think it's a wise investment.
Now, I do think it's extremely important for the people who live here to begin to have dialogue about what we want to spend our combined resources to preserve, protect, or are we going to preserve it? Are we going to protect it? Are we going to let it go? And the place, I mean, this high water line project that we're working on is a place for that dialogue to begin in a responsible manner and in a way that acknowledges the fact that this is something that's happening over a long period of time, which gives us time to plan. I mean, you know, it's kind of like the difference if you live in Tornado Alley, you don't have time to plan, but we live in a hurricane area, and at least they tell us when it's coming. Well, you know, it's the same thing. You know, if the sea level rise is happening slowly with time, and it's not the only climate change impact that we have in the state of Florida.
No,
so therefore,
it's not.
That means right. So therefore, there's a lot that needs to be done. But having
so the last
you know, the
thing
dialogue,
we need is a governor that's sticking his head in the sand and denying that it's even happening. I have no use for people like that. So I just think that the people, you know, one of the things, and I'm not going off topic exactly, but I was so moved. I was just so moved when I saw all those people in France, in Paris, stand up and say, je suis Charlie. I mean, it was beautiful. It was just amazing. And I bet you anything that the president of France did not expect that many people to come out of their houses to show up to say, screw you, to terrorism. It was very, very impressive. And I think that in this country, a lot of people have gotten either very complacent or apathetic about their ability to make change or their ability to do anything. And I think that a lot of times what happens is when some people have hope and they have determination and they stand up for whatever it is that they believe in, they can affect change. They can. And it's a process. It takes time, but it's really something. So I really think that we need to encourage those people, all of those people that will come to your festival, because they're already part of the way there. They're thinking. And they're interested and they're curious and they're going to go either change their diapers or they're going to, you know, solar over s'mores or whatever, all this stuff. You know, look at the fuel alternative fuel cars. That was fun, by the way. That was very, very cool. We saw that last time. But, I mean, whatever it is that they go to, they're already halfway there because they've got a curiosity. They know that the stuff is going on. And so I encourage you to harness that and use that collective group of people to, you know, make a statement, do something. Maybe we can get the paper to publish the petition and I don't know. I'm just talking off the top of my head. But I just think that we do need to stand united more often than we do as a country, as a people, as citizens who care about where we live and this country and everything. And it isn't just the corporations that have the big money. It's the little guys that matter. We're the ones that make things happen. So we really need to have more respect for ourselves.
Well, one of there are so many beautiful things going on that are about what people can do. I'm so impressed by the community gardening movement. And I'm so impressed by the transition.
It's big. It's really big.
Group. I mean, this is just, this is individuals who, in the small acts that they do at any moment of their life, exercising stewardship of the planet. And it's such a sense of integrity and such a sense of responsibility. And I have so much respect for that. And last year at the festival, I was amazed to see some people who have developed entire businesses around things I did not know were even going on in the way of repurposing and reusing things. People who take old beads and create new jewelry from it. People who use aluminum cans to create all kinds of things. There is something that is finding expression on top of the rejects of our civilization, and it's exciting to see the passion that's going into it, and it's very interesting to see the people who put on this jewelry. I mean, this is not like you're wearing junk. It's gorgeous when they're finished.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, I'm sure.
And the art being done, and the art that's being done and repurposed and recycled things is just phenomenal. And it's a creative area. I mean, one of the things that, at the festival last year, we had a number of things that were arts related. You know, I told you about the activist art we're doing. We're having the M+G Foundation come back because they do community building using recycled paper only, and they make life-size animal sculptures out of them. And
they're
going to be doing a couple of life-size turtles that they're going to have on display. And last year, students at our that were at the festival learned how to do that technique, and they began to make a lot of small origami items. And we're going to have an event actually on March 28th, next Sunday, that's going to be, helping to raise money for the festival, and they're going to be auctioning off some of that. And it's an amazing thing to see, that is an art form of expression. And M+G Foundation uses only recycled paper, and they build community by having people in schools and community centers and senior centers fold these basic triangles that are like Legos that they build these mm-hmm. these things out of. And it's just they're an amazing organization because they're bringing children from private schools to they're helping by bringing people together to do this folding from various socioeconomic mm-hmm. levels, from various religious orientations, and so forth. So it's a community and peace building. That's one aspect of our festival that we have. You may have seen at the All People's Diversity Day Festival the culture company that Judy Kaiser runs, and she has Peace Through Play curricula. And to me, that's an essential part of being green and moving forward, because if we cannot peacefully resolve these global challenges that we have, the alternative is rather frightening.
Progressive News Network, a new Mercury Media production, where you'll find the voices of activists, the voices of those working to make this a better world. We believe that as we face challenging times, the human spirit can face and surmount the foolish and the short-sighted. Tune in every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, for the live show, or anytime you can. Progressive News Network. found at www.newmercurymedia.com/PNN/. We have a future. Tune in and build it with us. Underwritten by Florida Media Labs, produced by Rick Spezak in cooperation with Canary and a Coal Mine Films. Progressive News.
Oh,
we have to learn how to work together.
We do. We absolutely do. There's no question. And this is why, you know, these kinds of events are so important, because it stimulates that kind of thought and action that, for a while at any rate, was kind of fallow. So it's a very important thing. We all need to understand that we're here together on the same planet, and we need to get along with each other, and we need to protect it, regardless of what part of the world you're in, really.
Yeah, I was blown away when I found out about the Girl Scout programming last year. They have some really wonderful programming. The one set of badges that they have is related to what they have. It's Your Planet, Love It. and all, you know, the activities are, depending on the age group, you know, are about whether it's earth or air or water, really do have sections in there where, you know, it's about processing information. It's about really coming to terms and thinking about these things in your own life, in your own family, and in your own community. And I just think that it's a very important aspect of last year when we did our lead tours. One of the places that we did the lead tour was up at the Pine Jog Elementary School, where they are doing gardening, you know, out back. They sell the vegetables and fruits over the counter in the office when parents come in to drop their kids off. And it's LEED certified because, you know, they have these wonderful things. They have the cisterns outside that recapture rainwater and so forth. Mm-hmm. And also there are several other schools. I mean, you know, Galaxy Elementary School is, I believe, the highest certification that one can achieve with LEED, which is gold certified. And we had tours last year, and it looks like we probably will this year, of FAU's Engineering East building, which is quite incredible. They have an elevator that when it goes up, it takes energy, but when it comes down, it gives back to the energy grid of the building.
Wow!
It's
how cool
amazing.
Is that?
Oh, the whole thing is cool. They even made their computer system so that they can recapture, you know, how those things heat up, and they have their own big, huge, you know, like, I don't know, their own little cloud there for FAU. But the heat is recaptured and used. It's quite an amazing thing. Roof garden on the roof, all kinds of things. And so we're hoping to have a tour there in the week after the festival where people can sign up for it at the festival and then, you know, attend the following week, because it's wonderful. And, you know, some of the things that the LEED certification certifies are not things that I had thought of before. For example, giving preferential parking to people with alternative fueled vehicles, locating near a transportation line so that people can use public transportation. That FAU Engineering East building has showers with lockers so that if people cycle there and need to take a shower, there's a place for them to do so. You know, it's just thinking a little differently. I mean, how are we going to live sustainably? Well, there are places we can go look at it. Last year we had participation from the Broward Emergency Operations Center, which is LEED certified. And we went down there, and there was a tour down there. And, you know, they have to be able to live in there under certain circumstances, and they have to be able to withstand, I can't remember what cat hurricane, it was maybe a 6, they have to be able to withstand it because they handle the emergency operations from there. And it was very interesting to see the way that they had managed to you know, obtain certification, the various things. A lot of it had to do with using recycled materials. And it had to do with the process of how they sited the place so that it would take advantage of a lot of passive as well as these active energy savings that could be achieved. So I've just been fascinated by the work of the U.S. Green Building Council down here. They've done wonderful things, and the schools are using these features to teach our next generation. They're living among these features. They're learning about them, and you know, maybe they'll take them all for granted, and that just will be what every day is in the future.
Well, I think you really, all behavior is learned, and you learn stuff, and we learned to throw things away because that's what was there. So if we teach our kids to save and conserve and to be thoughtful, to be more thoughtful about what they do, I think that's what you'll get. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I was just sharing before we talked with the editor of Florida Food and Farm, France has just a couple of days ago, they now have a deal that if you're building a new building and it's in wherever it is in France, commercial areas, whatever, it has to have solar panels or a garden roof, a roof garden, because that helps defray. So, I mean, it's impressive. It's very impressive.
Right.
You know,
well, you know,
we're not likely to do that, but I think that's a great idea. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of the buildings at FAU have the green screens on the outside and the windows. Once the on the tours last year, I learned that once the heat enters the envelope of the building, you know, then it has to be contended with. But if they can keep it outside of the building, then there are real energy savings. So they have these structures that go up the side of the building, and then plants grow up them. And it's very interesting, the Green Living Technologies people that are going to be at the festival have them on PNC buildings, and they have them on all kinds of buildings. And they're green screens that they can water from the inside. So even though they may be up high, they can water them through channels in these panels. And so that you can have greenery on the side of your building that's actually helping to keep your energy costs down.
That's spectacular.
Great. And it looks more restful, I think, to have the greenery on the side of the building. But then, it's on a screen. It's not as though it's, tearing
not on
up
the wall.
your
paint.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
People
get
all worried about the paint. My gosh.
But one of the things... One of the things that about Florida is the need to conserve water because of our water challenges, one of which, of course, is being caused by sea level rise that's penetrating inward and challenging our wells. We have a lot of reverse osmosis in municipalities now to combat that, but we are going to have, for our Girl Scouts, we're going to have, or for our kids, like our little kids, we're going to have tours of our xeriscaped grounds, the portion of our grounds that are xeriscaped that don't need to be artificially watered, and to look at the kind of plants there are there and see, the aesthetic of that in our area. And that's part of the Girl Scouts, and it's part for young kids, but it's to open our eyes to, well, what does it look like if we're not using excess water in the landscape? What is the trade-off? What are the aesthetically pleasing ways that can be done?
Cool.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting thing for kids as well as for all the rest of us. But I also think that the programming that we have that's really for fun, I mean, we have to approach things with a sense of humor and a light heart, and we will change more as a result. And I just think, you know, the chi dancing with Dr. Love, it's something that at least calms our minds and gets us to a point where we can peacefully, rationally pursue whatever we want to do that will make a positive change.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have to be able to think clearly. And now I'm looking at this flyer of yours, and it says featured ecofilm, The Power of Community. What is that?
Okay, so that is about how Cuba survived peak oil. And this is about people who were confronted with the problem who worked together as a community. When the Soviet collapse in the early 1990s brought on this energy famine, you know, what is it that we are going to do together that's going to help Cuba as the people kind of pulled together to work with this? And so the film is meant to be, yes, about peak oil and about the effects, and it's about the collective mobilization. It's about what you were talking about before, about people feeling engaged and how they can feel engaged in large and small ways. This was a collective mobilization that ended up being a large way, and that's what that film is about. And it's hosted by the Move On Council of Palm Beach and North Broward, and they'll have a discussion
cool.
You know, it's almost an hour long. But they'll have a guided discussion afterward, which I think, you know, we showed it last year, and it brought a lot of people, because I think it's that power of community. It's about the business of coming together. I think it's just really a unifier. And when you see other people have done it, you know, then it unifies the people then who are there seeing it. So, yeah.
Well,
and
I'll share. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that in that organizing aspect, the Climate Action Coalition of South Florida is going to be giving a presentation about their municipal campaign. And talking to people in the municipalities, they're starting a campaign that's going into each of the municipalities, asking the municipalities to sign the mayor's climate action pledge, to essentially do what Delray Beach is doing, sign the mayor's climate action pledge, get citizens on a task force that can make recommendations to your municipality about what citizens want to have done, and to manage the floodplain according to the FEMA guidelines that help keep our insurance down. And, of course, to get into the plan the local mitigation strategy or other elements of their plan, the kinds of things that can be implemented quickly when federal funds become available after a horrible hurricane or hazard. You know, up in New Jersey and up in that area after Hurricane Sandy, a lot of money was made available for rebuilding. But unfortunately, if the plans were not forward-thinking and they didn't incorporate what is known about sea level rise and how that is going to change the kinds of codes that we need, then things were, you know, money was used for something that's simply not going to last. So we would prefer that we use our money wisely when it's available down here in rebuilding and have plans already in place for things that can withstand the coming decades. And that's what they're going to be talking about when they give their presentation about how they're going to do that. And they're looking for people in all the different communities. Whatever municipality you live in, the fact of the matter is that all land use decisions are local. No matter how much we think, oh, you know, there's gridlock here, there, the other, all land use decisions are local. And so if you want something to be rebuilt according to a code that's forward-thinking, that has to be argued for at the municipal level.
Yes.
Yep.
I'm going to
send
you.
You know, they're looking for people who are willing to talk to the people they know, if they know their mayor or, you know, city council people.
Well, that's it. That's it. So speaking of that, I you know, it just occurred to me, you probably have everything you need, but because I also shared this online, Food and Water Watch has a movie that they're touring now called Groundswell Rising, and it's they've got Craig Stevens. They don't have anything scheduled. I'm looking. They don't have anything even in Palm Beach County. So I'm going to just send you this email. It has the organizer's name and email and everything on it if you have an opportunity to screen that as well on that day. Great. If not, nothing lost. Nothing lost, but I'll just send you that. I'm not writing anything, just FYI. But, yeah, because I think this is a great opportunity. I know you're going to get tons of people. I know you're going to have tons and tons and tons of people. And that's wonderful because you really do have something for everything. You have music. You have live music, right?
Yes, we do. We have live music outdoors. We have, you know, an indoor and an outdoor possibility. So even if it rains, you know, come on, because there will be something for you. But, I mean, we have, we're real, really lucky. Are you familiar with this new book, Just One Backyard? It was, he's going to come
speak. Yeah, I know John.
Yes.
I know John.
Yes.
Are you kidding?
John,
yes, the
Nina Ramos.
That's how come I know that the community garden thing is such a big deal, because I was there. See, I help out Urban Growers Community Farm. It's in an urban desert in West Palm Beach, and they took a quarter of an acre of land, and they're right by the railroad tracks in a very blighted community, and they're building a farm. They're creating a farm on it. They're growing vegetables now and selling them, but they're going to have trees, you know, fruit trees and flowers, and they've got the whole thing is laid out. It's a plan that they're going to be fixing the whole piece of land. And so John Ramos had a meeting of all the different community gardens, which is actually like 16 to 20, I mean huge number, because he did in his backyard, he didn't want to mow the grass, so he took the two-thirds of his backyard, and he repurposed it to growing food. He's got food on the walls. He's got, you know, all kinds of vegetables and fruits on the ground. And then one-third of it is for just, he left it alone so that if the birds or whoever wants to go play around in there, it's for them. But the rest of it is cultivated, and he grows everything. He grows daikon root for a Japanese restaurant, and corn, and just all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, he is extremely knowledgeable, and he's one of those people who is meticulous about organizing information and cataloging it and all that stuff. So he's got all kinds of statistics and stuff that, you know, not my kind of thing, but he's very good. He's very good at what he does, and he certainly knows a lot. So he's going to be speaking.
Yes, he's going to be speaking, and I think he's going to keep a booth the rest of the time, so he'll be there to talk to people as well. He'll have his book there, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, he knows a lot. He knows an awful lot, and what he's done, he can tell you, I don't remember anymore, but he knows how many pounds of food he grew in like a year, and how much gasoline he didn't use going to the store to buy it. That's the kind of statistical stuff. I mean, he's amazing, all the stuff that he catalogs and organized. You know what I mean? He's like, nah, 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 nah. He's like a statistics machine. But he, I mean, it's like he saved hundreds, if not thousands of dollars growing that food in his backyard.
Mm.
And hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, not driving to the store. So, I mean, it was, and he probably has some other things that he did at the same time, and I don't remember them, which is quite possible, but he really has facts and figures and everything else like that. And he knows, because, I mean, I remember I called him a long time ago, and I said, I just want to put stuff in a pot, and I'm afraid I don't know what to put on the bottom. I mean, that's what I wanted to know, because I figured, why should I do it and mess it up? Let me ask somebody that knows what they're doing, you know. So, yeah. Oh, he knows a lot. He knows a lot. But the nice thing about...
Yeah, and I think... Go ahead.
The nice thing about Palm Beach County and Broward County is there actually are a lot of community gardens, and there are quite a number of master gardeners. They are out there, and they're growing.
Yes. You know, the Gray Mockingbird Garden is going to be with us.
Yeah.
And
Brian?
Yes, and yes. And probably either one aspect of Aurora's Voice or SoShare will be there, maybe somebody from Frog Alley.
Frog Alley
will be
that's
there.
The community garden section. Yeah, Pablo. Sure.
Yeah, he's terrific.
There's
such a huge part of the solution. They're a huge part of the solution.
They are. It's nice. It makes you feel good to poke around. And the thing is that what I like about the community gardens is that a lot of, like, Bosley is the guy that runs the Urban Growers, and we went down to look at a farm in Dania Beach. It's almost a sister. It's the same amount of footage and all that stuff, and they have all their plants in pots. They don't have anything in the ground. It's all in pots, and it's huge. It's a quarter acre, whatever. It's quite big, and the city was so together, in my opinion, there. They built them a pavilion. It's also in a depressed neighborhood, and it the real estate values go up, I'm telling you, when this stuff happens, because they just, it looks beautiful, it's green and lush, and that one has a pavilion. It has a beautiful pavilion with, you know, seats and chairs and whatever it is, so they can have, anyway, lots of things can happen. Lots of things can happen when people all, you know, join together. So I think this
is a very, very cool event. Yes, and I want to tell you, if people want, are living in Delray Beach, we need people to volunteer to chalk lines. We're going to do 7.5 miles of it. And if they contact us at info@floridaearthfestival.com, we can find them a place to help chalk the line, a place to help mix the chalk, a place to be part of a really interesting public art project.
That's fantastic. So, again, it's the Florida First Earth Festival, April 18th and 19th, Saturday 10 o'clock to 7, Sunday 12 to 7, and it's at Boca Raton University Woodlands Park. And for more information, go to www.floridaearthfestival.com. Thank you, Jan. It has been a pleasure talking to you, and I will see you there.
All righty. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Progressive News Network, a new Mercury Media production, where you'll find the voices of activists, the voices of those working to make this a better world. We believe that as we face challenging times, the human spirit can face and surmount the foolish and the short-sighted. Tune in every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, for the live show, or anytime you can. Progressive News Network, found at www.newmercurymedia.com/PNN/. We have a future. Tune in and build it with us. Underwritten by Florida Media Labs, produced by Rick Spizak in cooperation with Canary and a Coal Mine Films. Progressive News Network.